Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. You can find this on page 882 of the Church Bibles. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm sure that it is not news to anyone here that there are plenty of things to worry about in the world today. We worry about the growing instability in the Middle East. We hope that it's all going to lead to less repression by despotic leaders and more freedom for citizens there. But we worry about its effects on gas prices. We worry that it will lead to takeover of governments by Islamist radicals who might use the power of the state to support and carry out terrorism against innocent people all across the world. We also worry about the massive debt that the federal government and states are racking up, and we wonder if our children and grandchildren are going to be saddled with an unbearable burden. Or we worry that our own retirement savings will be eroded by the resulting inflation. And it's not just international and national news. There are many people in our community, many people right here in our congregation struggling with plenty of worries right at home. We worry about serious and long-term medical issues that we or our loved ones face. And even if the treatments are successful and we receive healing, we worry about how we're going to pay the bill. We worry about whether our marriage is going to hold together. And we worry about raising children. We worry about whether we're going to get laid off or whether we'll be able to find enough work to put food on the table and keep a roof over our heads. It seems that everywhere we look these days, there's plenty to worry about. So when we open up our Bible and we read these words today, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink or wear. It can be hard just to hear these words, let alone to try to find the Savior in them. Now maybe it's easier to hear this sort of thing when things are going smoothly, when the fire is warm and we have a glass of wine in one hand and a good book in another, or when the tough decisions of our life consist of trying to decide where to go on vacation this year. As a colleague of mine has said, if that's what the hard issues of your life are like, well, then maybe nice sayings about birds and lilies speak to you. But for many of us, life isn't bird-like or lily-like enough even to consider it. And yet Jesus tells us not to worry. Now, commanding someone not to worry, I've found, is a pretty unhelpful thing to do. It's kind of like when you're at Panera talking with somebody and you tell them, don't look now, but check out that guy over there. What's the first thing they do? They look. Or when you go to the doctor's office and they start listening to you, to your chest, and they tell you to breathe normally. You start thinking about it. You can't breathe normally when you're thinking about it. It's pretty similar here, isn't it? Someone tells you not to worry, and it's hard to stop thinking about all the things that are worrisome. So maybe hearing this as a command is the wrong way to go about it. I think the Heidelberg Catechism may shed some light on it for us when it uses similar language to answer a question about our only comfort. This is the famous first question and answer. I know that you know this question and answer. Many of you learned it when you were young in catechism class, but this is the end of that answer, not the beginning. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That he protects me so well, that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, that everything must fit his purpose for my salvation. It is our only comfort that we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to ourselves, but to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why he protects us. That is why everything fits his purpose for our salvation. That is why we can now wholeheartedly and willingly live for him, because he's fully paid for all our sins and freed us from the dominion of the devil. It's comforting because this is much more of a promise than it is a command. One commentator translates it better, I think. You can quit worrying about your life. Or better yet, you don't have to worry about your life anymore. Maybe it helps us if we think of this less as a command and more as Jesus painting a picture for us of what life could be, what it could be like following him. But still, if we're not careful, it can seem like this is just some naive sentiment that doesn't come to grips with the reality of this life. But look at who's speaking here. It's Jesus. Is there anyone whose life was any more removed from the carefree existence of birds and lilies? This is Jesus speaking, the one against whom Herod sent his army when he was only a toddler. The one who was hounded all the time by the Pharisees and the scribes. This is Jesus speaking, who was accused of being in league with the devil, who sweated great drops of blood as he prayed at Gethsemane, who was condemned as a common criminal, disgraced and executed by slow torture. This is Jesus. He is the one who says not to be anxious about tomorrow. He's not unaware of human suffering and trials. So is there more here than meets the eye? Is this more than just good advice? More than a pretty saying about flowers and birds that probably looks great on a cross stitch somewhere? Jesus knows all of our problems, our unrest, our sickness, our anxieties, our worries. And he directs us toward God's gift of grace and gift of a peace that overcomes the world. He can give us a freedom from worry that isn't dependent on what's going on in our lives at any given moment, but that can hold us up and protect us in spite of all of our trials, even when they seem as large and as threatening as the cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem. He talks about a peace that can sustain us, that can calm us, even in the aftermath of disasters. He gives us a peace that stays with us even amidst life's greatest disappointments. A peace that will keep us steady and endure when everything around us is falling apart. So the big question then is, how do I get this peace? How can I be delivered from all my worry, all the anxiety because of the troublesome things in my life? And this whole section that we read and that we're talking about begins with the word therefore. You know, we always talk about context, and when we find the word therefore, it should be like a big sign right there in the text for us, pointing us back to what has just been said. Everything in this paragraph follows on from what Jesus has said just before this. And what he said there was, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And no one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Then, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about this life. All this talk about trouble and worry this week reminded me of a recent insurance company commercial. The commercial shows a dog trying in every which way to protect his bone. He hides it under dirty clothes in the laundry basket. He slides it under the rug in the family room. He tries the couch cushion under the pillow, but still, he's worried. He buries it in the backyard. He even goes so far as to put it in a safe deposit box at the bank. In this commercial, dogs are allowed on the bus. But even with the bone locked away and safe at the bank, the dog can't get the bone out of his mind. And the singer and the music on the commercial warbles on about worry and trouble. Only as the commercial ends do we see the dog playing worry-free in the backyard. And the camera finally shows us the source of his comfort. There's the famous red Traveler's Insurance umbrella suspended right over his dog bowl with the bone sitting right there. And we see and hear the tagline, when it comes to things you care about, leave nothing to chance. And Jesus doesn't disagree, but here he tells us that the key to all of it is which things we care about. The things that we value the most, the things that are most precious to us, must not be the treasures that the world has to offer, like money and material wealth and physical comfort. Instead, the things that are most dear to us must be the treasures that the kingdom of heaven has to offer, truth and love and self-sacrifice. These are the things that we should value. Strive first for the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be given to you. It's about what takes first place in our hearts. No one can serve two masters. Unlike many of the questions in the Bible, this one is not a both and, but an either or. Either God is the most important thing in our lives, or something worldly is. There's no compromising between the two. There's no time sharing. No putting God first on Sundays and then putting God on the back burner during the week. What Jesus tells us is that the question of the things that you care about, your treasures, your values, where your heart is, where your trust is. This question has everything to do with whether you suffer from anxiety and worry or not. If your heart is disordered, if your heart is out of whack, we become anxious and our hearts overflow with worry and anxiety. And the cure isn't to insure all of our earthly possessions to the gills, because no matter what the traveler's commercials say, these things don't last and can't give us the true security, the true comfort that we crave. The cure, Jesus tells us, for the worry-ridden heart is to put that whole heart in God's care, to make caring and love and giving and sacrifice our highest priorities, our only priorities. Because knowing that we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior is our only true comfort and security and insurance. To fill our hearts with the peace that God gives, we must fill it with the other things that God gives: compassion and humility and kindness and mercy. Now, this doesn't mean that if we put our heart in the right place, that God is going to automatically make us wealthy and prosperous. Nor does it mean that huge disappointments and even disasters won't ever enter our lives, or that they don't matter. It doesn't even mean that we will always have a safe place to stay or a hot meal to eat. But what God does promise, if we put our hearts in the right place, or better yet, if we let Jesus take our hearts upon him, if we strive first for the kingdom, then he will come to us and lift the heavy, heavy burden of worry and anxiety. In another place, he preaches, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you seek his kingdom, he will come to you and bring to you what Christians have from the earliest days called the peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace which even on the toughest days can fill your heart and make you rejoice in the Lord. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, but strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen.